welcome to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. I have got Frank Hickey, Matthew Chapman, and Ruby Walsh from across these wonderful islands. Ruby Walsh is going to Cheltenham, Matt Chapman's going to Alton Towers, and Frank Hickey is going to be trading all weekend. How are we, gentlemen? Matt Chapman, how are you?
I'm really well. Always look forward to Cheltenham. Any Cheltenham meeting, whatever the size of the fields, whatever the time of the year, produces something worth watching. So looking forward to it.
Good man. Frank Hickey, how are you? We missed you last week. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I had to go into hospital. I got a little bit of a blood clot in my leg, so I needed to go in. Yeah.
And is it gone?
Will I have to take blood thinners for 3 or 4 months to get rid of it?
Oh, hang on now. You don't have to change the diet or anything. This is the critical question.
Will I have to not drink or not play any contact sport where you can get a bad bang?
Which is worse?
Will I play five-a-side normally?
Which is a harder sacrifice, to not drink or to not play five-a-side?
Oh, not play five-a-side. I barely drink anyway.
Oh, so. Happy days. Ruby Walsh, how are you?
I think I give the five-a-side now, if that question was being given to me personally. So I would. Definitely, I spent long enough not drinking. But other than that, I don't have to make that decision. So I'm pretty fine, PK.
Yeah, good man. What do you do now, Ruby? Do you play a bit of golf? Is that it really at this stage now?
No, I still ride out, PK. Okay. And work out. I put on a stone and I have absolutely no intention of putting on anymore.
Put on a stone. Were you actually weighing yourself for the first few months and going, Jesus, how far is this going to go?
I still weigh myself 3 or 4 times a week.
Wow. 3 or 4 times a week, I suppose. Mm. When you're in the habit of it, you're in the habit of it. Okay, gentlemen, we've got two wonderful days of Cheltenham to look ahead to. If you are tuning in at the usual time on Friday evening for this podcast and you're thinking, lads, get to the Saturday racing. We will get to the Saturday racing. You just have to skip forward a few minutes. But a couple of pieces of housekeeping first before we go. Now, great news. Paddy Power are going to sponsor the New Year's Day meeting at Cheltenham. And we've got a pair of tickets for you. Yes. And Matt Chapman will make train noises as well. Now, all you have to do to get yourself free tickets to Cheltenham on New Year's Day is simple. You've got to find a Paddy Power tweet that basically is flagging up this show, which we don't do enough of, to be honest, if I'm being very honest. But find any Paddy Power tweet that's flagging up this very episode, quote the tweet, and say something nice. Don't say, this is rubbish. Say something very, very nice. Because once you say something nice, then we'll go, oh, that's been nice.
Ruby's picking the winner, so it better be very nice.
Well, Ruby, there's a picture of your grumpy face on it as well. It is the grumpiest face I've ever seen. So, but don't reference that, because I definitely don't whenever I'm tweeting. Hashtag FTHM. That's crucial, or else it doesn't get picked up by those metrics that people give a damn about. And you're in the hat. So just to remind you, tweet about this podcast using the tweet that Paddy Power will send out about this. Quote us, say something nice, and use that hashtag, and you could be in a chance to win free tickets. Happy days. Okay, let's get cracking. Friday at Cheltenham, gentlemen, we're going to start with a Mare's Handicap Chase at 150. This is a money-back race, by the way. Money back online, money back in shops as well. Do check out, if you're online or in shops, what the money-back special is, but you could be getting refunds on the second, third, and fourth here. Fontaine Calonge is the 9-4 favourite for this race, over 2.5 miles at 9-4 at the time of recording. You've got 4-1 Rose of Arcadia for the resurgent Tizzards, 4s from 5. 9-2 Precious Eleanor, 7-1 Timeless Beauty, 8-1 Pretty Little Liar. And on his return to the podcast, Frank Hickey can go first.
Yeah, look, Fontaine Calonge won nicely at work last time. 7 pound probably off fair enough with Venetia Williams yard bombing. Rose of Arcadia is interesting as well. She was a point-to-point winner, and I thought she had really nice in a return over hurdles, which was only coloured after the last at Wincanton. The one I'm going to take a chance on is Dame Dessoir for David Bridgewater. She's 5-20 on the route. She's kept me to hurdles last year. She won a Chepstow from Mark 120, and she was third to Muscada and Miss Heritage at Newbury off 126. Those two had decent form after it. Miss Heritage was second in the Imperial Cup. David Swar ran a nice race in reappearance at Fontville last month, went third behind Shut the Box. And Silius Glass bolted up during the week at Fontville to French form. And Dame Dessoir shaped like she would come on considerably flat run as well. She probably would want even more testing ground. It's only good to soft there. She probably would like soft or perhaps even heavy, but I think she'll get away with it. And just at the price, and considering her mark of 119, I think she's worth taking a chance on.
strong case made by Frankfurt Dam de Soir. Apologies for his audio quality. We tried, but his microphone is not working. He's not in the bathroom and he's not on the moon. He is in his bedroom. Ruby Walsh, your thoughts on the 150?
Funny, I fancy Pretty Little Liar. I know she only won an auto 95 rated beginner's chase at Thurles, but I thought she was jumping really well and travelling ominously well when she fell at Thurles on the 25th of November. That was only her second start over fences. She was probably a little bit too brave, and maybe the fall will just encourage her to back off a little. But I think she's still well enough in, and I think she could be the one to beat.
12-1 and 8-1 at the time recording the two selections so far. Matt Chapman?
Yeah, there are going to be plenty of people interested with the name of that horse and the jockey riding it tomorrow.
I deliberately jumped over it.
not that I'm mentioning either way, because to be quite frank, I have no idea who's telling the truth in this world about anything. But it will make one or two people just smile tomorrow, Pretty Little Liar. Two of the top four in the market have got slight changes in that Timeless Beauty is second run after the wind operation, and Rose of Acadia has got a tongue tie first time. So when you've got those kind of things, you can obviously get improvement coming about. But I was really, compared to the other two lads, very boring in this race. Venetia Williams is in fantastic form. Most of the time so far this season, rather strangely, on quite decent ground, which her horses don't usually win on. But I was at Lingfield on Wednesday and she had a double there on bottomless ground, which was much more what we expect from Venetia. Basically, what that just tells us is the stable is in flying form. Fontaine Collonge is up £4, or is £4 different in the weights with Precious Eleanor compared to Warwick. But I don't think that will make a difference in the result. And it's very boring. But I think Fontaine Collonge is a worthy favourite and will take all the beating.
It's not boring if it wins. Okay, three different picks in the opener at Cheltenham. Move on to the 225, a 3.25 mile handicap chase. This one, Enrillo for Paul Nichols, 5-2 favourite faller on his seasonal debut. Mr. Fog Patches was tipped up in a few places, including on this podcast last time out, 11-2. Finished a decent third over to the UK for Pat Fahey and Danny Mullins. 11-2 Hurricane Harvey, not Hurricane Barra. 11-2 for Commodore for Venetia Williams, already mentioned. That's been nibbled at. And 15-2 Rocco. And 8-1 Santini, the old boy, is back for new trainer Polly Gundry. Okay, Matt, your thoughts on the 225?
Well, a lot of people who watch this podcast, of course, and it has a huge, huge following, will be interested in Enrillo here, because I tipped that up and I really fancy it for the Ladbroke Trophy, and he was still going well when he came down. This is a very different test, though, and he's up against quite a lot of horses that are race fit, and I had no problem going each way, Mr. Fog Patches. I am worried about the horse's win record compared to its place record, in that he's won two from 28, but he has 5 seconds and 7/3. It slightly suggests that he promises more than he delivers, but I thought both his last two runs were decent. The Troy Town at Navan, the Cork Grand National, his third in the Scottish National was good. And if it does come down to a bit of a slog, he stays very strongly. So each way, Mr. Fog Patches.
Ruby Walsh.
I fancy Enrillo. I know Matt was all over him for the Ladbroke Trophy. I think this is a weaker contest than that. He was travelling well when he fell. I'd be for him on Friday afternoon.
Frank Kiki?
Yeah, look, it's just a matter of, like, will Enrillo come out of the race okay? Imagine he was okay and he's running so soon. But for me, I'd be with Matt here, Mr. Fog Patches. Like, he doesn't win maybe as much as you'd want, but his record is when running over 3 miles or further is quite consistent. He's in 9 starts. Over 3 miles or further, he's had a win, 3 seconds, 4/3, and just one unplaced effort. He's third in Scottish National. He won at the Punchdown Festival over 3 miles, 7 furlongs. It's all about stamina. I don't think he wants the ground at bottomless, so the ground should be perfect for him. I just think he's rock solid to run his race. And yeah, he'll be bang there anyway, I think.
Okay, 2 votes for Mr. Fog Patches and 1 for Enrillo. Moving on to possibly the feature on day one of the two-day meeting, the Glenfarclas cross-country chase. It's 3.25 miles. Now, at the time of recording, there's 16 runners, and if all 16 turn up, we're going to go 5 places. Keep an eye out for non-runners. If there are non-runners, we might have to reduce that to 4 places instead of 3. But it'll still be an extra place race, Matthew Chapman. Don't you worry. We'll still offer an extra place. I'll let Frank tell you why. And in the 3 o'clock, looking at the prices at the time of recording, Midnight Maestro 4 very well, aptly named indeed, for Enda Bulger, the maestro of these cross-country races. 7-2 joint favourite with Diesel Dallier, who used to be trained in France, now with Richard Bandy. 7-1 back on the lash, who had a rake of these in behind in the similar race back in the November meeting, or the October meeting, can't remember which one. Plan of attack for Henry de Bromhead and Darragh O'Keefe has been well backed, 11-2 into 9-2, 9-1 Balcony de Flow and Singing Banjo and 14's Bar. I'm looking forward to another spot the difference regard Champetra Ruby, but we haven't seen one in a while, one who's kind of dominated these style of races. So I suppose the door is open, but your thoughts on this one, Ewan?
Yeah, the door is open for something to come and dominate, but and Tiger Roll kind of was dominating since Guard Champetra. But and I actually fancy Balco de Flow. I thought he ran really well in the November meeting. He was coming off the back of a poor run in late October over hurdles at Galway. I thought he stepped forward considerably on that. And watching him the last day, I thought he jumped really well. He travelled really well. He was absolutely running away at the back of the fourth last. And I think he just got tired and then ran on again when he got his second wind. I think with that run under his belt, I know he is top weight, but he's the classiest horse in the race. And I think he's the one.
Ball got a flow for Ruby. Frank Hickey.
I think it's very interesting. I think if there's one that might be the new spot, the difference, it's not running here. But Shady okay. Operator is a big price for the cross country in March if people are looking at anti-post for this race. He absolutely slammed Midnight Maestro, punched down his 2 from 2 over the banks, just so I get that in. But for me, I thought Diesel Dallier shaped the best of them all here in November. I think the lack of a run just told. He went 2 lengths clear, jumping the last, and it looked for all the world he was home and host, and my money was on him that day as well. So it was pretty painful feeling watching the last 100 yards when he got collared. The ground would have been lively enough from that day as well. I think a bit of softer ground here definitely won't go amiss. The yard had a winner during the week, a very well-backed horse at Utoxer. So it was good to see. So even though it's probably not much juice in its price, I think Diesel Dallier is the one to beat for me.
And Matthew Chapman.
Well, I've been enough Cheltenham preview nights with the excellent Tony Mullins to know that when Tony doesn't know what's going on in a race, he simply says, well, they've all been beating each other. And that's kind of my feeling with this race. You can pick one, but they're so interlinked that it's one little error. It's one horse, whether he's in the mood on the day. I've ended up with Plan of Attack each way for Henry de Bromhead and Darragh O'Keefe. Kim Muir fourth back in the day. He ran okay behind that back on the lash. That was the first run since July, so might improve a little bit. I think he's got an each-way chance. And with these races, rather than sort of say to someone, oh, this will win or that will win, I try and just go for something that I think will at least give me a run for my money. And I think Plan of Attack will have a chance turning in. After that, who knows, but I'll go for him each way.
Okay. Three different picks in the cross-country. Final race on Friday at Cheltenham is a 3:35. It's a 3-mile handicap hurdle, and it's headed in the weights and the market by Sporting John, who came right back to form. Well, I say right back to form. He was entitled to win last time out off his handicap rating. He's up to 1.51 now. He's the 7-4 favourite on at the current prices. 5-1 on a gathering storm for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan. 15-2 Botox has. The horse has been tipped up a couple of times by Frank Hickey. I wonder if he's going to tip him up again. He's 15-2 from 10-1. 8-1 Ask Dylan. 10-1 Agrapar and The Reckon and Ernesto. I'll come to Frank last because he's got a glint in his eye. Ruby, you go first for the 3:35.
Oh, it's Sporting John all the way to me. He could be in the long walk, I think, or could possibly easily have been in the long walk.
Okay, so he's a handicap snipper, 1.51 then.
Yeah.
Lovely. Matt Chapman?
Yeah, look, he's always had grade one ability, Sporting John. He clearly hasn't been that easy to train. And it seems that his metier is going to be over hurdles rather than fences. Again, harking back to being at Lingfield on Wednesday, I'm a big supporter of Tom O'Brien. And I had a very quick word with him and said, you know, looking forward to the rest of the week. And he just, he had a twinkle in his eye and he just said the two words, Sporting John Friday. And he clearly...
That's three words.
Well, he didn't actually say Friday, but he said Sporting John, and I added in Friday. But thank you, Ruby, for
we
being
had a
there
last week about Ruby Walsh being a stickler. Yeah. And
I was just actually showing that I am awake here, even though I'm yawning.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to have Ruby on board to point us in the right direction. It feels very much as though Jesus is around us and can lead us on the way to Bethlehem at this Christmas time.
He was born on the 25th of December. I only know one other man born on the 25th of December.
And the good news is Ruby is still awake. So clearly, God, I've completely lost my track.
I thought he was going to tell us about Nazareth or something. He was going to start in Bethlehem or something.
Yeah, amen. Blessed be Ruby Walsh. Look, Sporting John could clearly win, but from a punting point of view, I know you can say, well, a winner's a winner, but he's not going to be much of a price. And I thought that Ask Dylan might be a reasonable each-way bet for Fergal O'Brien and Max Kendrick. He's £6 lower than his highest mark of 148. He's finished sixth in a per temps final at Cheltenham. He's quite a tough crookie. So I'm going to go Ask Dylan each way. But if Sporting John came there on the bridle, it wouldn't surprise me.
Frank Hickey, Botox has. You've tipped up a couple of times. Is the project over?
No, I got sucked in again. I actually went and backed him during the week. I was hoping that maybe Sporting John would skip the race and go to Ascot, but they're obviously with connections going to go there with Champ. And I imagine the plan would be if Sporting John wins here, he'll probably go for the Cleve Hurdle in January, would be my thinking. Look, he's the one to beat, a mark of 151. He's only got 5 for his win the last day. I thought that was pretty lenient. He was quite I won't even try to say the word. He was a very impressive winner. And he could easily develop into a stairs hurdle contender. But I think Bottas has interesting. I went back and watched the Great Wood again. Obviously, I tipped him up and he was disappointing with the results. And like, if you watch it, he completely off at 4 out. He looks like he's going to get tail off and pull up, jumping 3 out, he's last. And he absolutely flies up the hill to finish 8th, beating 12 lengths. Now, considering the first 4 were clear, the rest I thought it wasn't a bad effort, considering you thought he was going to get pulled up, maybe jumping 3 out. Definitely 2 miles is too short for him these days. The cheap pieces go on, which hopefully will help him travel through the race. And you look at his rating, he's now rated 136. Like, he beat Langer Dan as a juvenile. He was second to All Mankind. He won a handicap in his reappearance last year at Cheltenham, over 2 miles off mark of 138. Bit of easier ground in the suit. I definitely think 3 miles worth exploring with him, and I've had a few quid in him. I'm hoping. Yeah, I'd be finding it very hard to forgive now if he doesn't run well.
I'm just waiting for the day when you stop backing him, and I'm going to go in, Frank. I'm going to go in. I'm going to have a few quid, and we know what's going to happen. One more race is on ITV on Friday. I just want to chat on very quickly. It's a 205 banger. They've thrown in a nice little near 3 miler for us. Don't have prices at the time recording, Matt, but you've had a good look at this race, Matt.
I have. I've gone for a horse who's mainly got letters by his name, but he's incredibly well handicapped. And what I thought about the others is they're not well handicapped. So I'm taking an absolute chance. The horse is Tedham, trained by Jonjo O'Neill. On form, he has absolutely no chance whatsoever, but he is chucked in.
Okay.
I'm just hoping that he returns to form.
Okay. Any word on Banger before we move on to Saturday?
No, I was going to say he's a complete cliff horse for me, and I backed him every time thinking he's a 140 plus horse. So yeah,
I haven't backed him,
so you know what's
going to
happen. Can I just mention a couple of races at Cheltenham on the card earlier that's not on TV?
You can fire ahead.
The 2 mile novice hurdle cracker, Hartu Dudery, was very impressive for Dan, Harry Skelton, and Warwick, and debuted the upgrades. JPR1, who beat Lutcher Lad, and I, Maximus, and David Dexter. And you've got Washington the second, so I'd like to move. It's a cracking race. Probably hard to have a bet. Maybe if you put a gun to my head, JPR1, but that's a race to watch. It's going to be a cracker. I thought Cork Rambler was a little bit overpriced with the one firm up. So far in the 12:40, the 3 mile handicap chase, Lucinda Russell's a great form. She's 7 winners in the last 2 weeks. This horse very lightly raced, only had 5 starts under rules, won twice over hurdles from 3 starts, was impressive the last day at Aintree when winning by 6 lengths, only got £7 for it. I think it's quite lenient. Lucinda Russell's mentioned the Scottish National for him already, which shows how highly she thinks of him. I think he'd go well. And the 1:15, taking a bit of a flyer here on the Grey Falco for Alistair Ralph. Had some very useful novice form last season. Won the second start at Chepstow, taking a big step forward from his reappearance. Was then 3rd behind Manila Drama and Ballybeg. They're obviously Manila Drama's rate 147, Ballybeg 135. He was 2nd to Calico at Ludlow, conceding a penalty. Calico's now rated 134. I thought he ran nicely on his reappearance at Bangor, went 5th behind Hunter's Call. Hunter's Call absolutely bolted up. The handicap was dropped in £3 to a mark of 119. He's surely capable of that mark at the yard. They had a winner during the week and Cateson ran really well at Aintree as well last week. So the great Falco, he'll be a price, I think.
Can't say he doesn't do his homework, folks. Didn't even ask him to look at those races. So there you go. Keep an eye on the early races, the non-IGV races there. Nice little preview from Frank. Right, let's move on to Saturday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Very important message, as always, here at Paddy Power. Right, we've got Saturday, a super Saturday. Ruby's favourite phrase. I always say every Saturday is a super Saturday. And every Saturday is a super Saturday. I don't care. Because a lot of people are...
I do, because this is a super Saturday.
Not just racing. Everything. Everything's a super Saturday. Leinster are playing. Premier League's back or on.
So what do you call Sunday then? Special Sunday. Super Saturday. Magic Sunday Monday. Terrific Tuesday. Wonderful Wednesday. Terrifying Thursday. Terrifying. Frightening Friday. Super Saturday. Well done, PK. We'll get you a job in PR or something. So
well, I sort of do, but I'm not very good at it, obviously. let's get on to a middling Saturday of racing at Cheltenham, and we will kick off with the 150. This is the Racing Post coming in to sponsor us now, the Racing Post Gold Cup, they're calling it. We have prizes at the time of recording, which is great. Lawler, what a talking horse he was going into the Paddy Power Gold Cup, and ran a very solid race, and Paul Nicholls said as much. He was delighted with him. He's 4-1 favourite at the time of recording. Silver Hallmark is 5-1 for Fergal O'Brien. Dostal Phil, 5-1. 13-2 Fahrenheit, 10-1 Midnight Shadow. Can he do it again? Fusil Raffles 10s, as is Zanza, and Cool Cody, and 14s Bar. Ruby Walsh, give us the winner of the Racing Post Gold Cup.
I think Midnight Shadow is a wonderful price at 10-1. I thought he was pulling up the last day. He made a mistake at the last. He travelled the easiest without. I think he's an incredible price. Now, I know he's up £11 and people are saying, oh, that'll stop him, whatever. I think, having watched him the last day, yeah, and I tipped Dostal Phil the last day and I was thinking, yeah, he'll do me the next day. But I wasn't expecting Midnight Shadow to turn up, and I wasn't expecting it to be a double-digit price either.
Okay, very interesting. Matthew Chapman.
Finally, I get my revenge on the former multiple champion jockey that is Ruby Walsh, because I'm going to absolutely make him feel like a banana.
He's up £7.
No, not that. No, even worse. Even worse. I'm going to make you feel on Saturday afternoon. In fact, because I'm not on the show, I'm going to watch ITV Racing with a smile
text,
on my
and
face.
And text him.
No, I'm going to watch it with a smile on my face. And I'm going to feel through my excellent HDTV the horror that is going to fill your body as Dostal Phil runs up the hill in first, knowing that I have napped it and you have ditched him. This is going to be the greatest moment in TV history. Ruby is going to quake, he's going to quiver, and he's going to relive horrible moments in his riding career all over again. Look, I thought Dostal Phil was ridden like a horse that they still weren't absolutely sure whether he was a strong stayer last time, and he got hampered at the 10th when he would have been a lot closer. I thought that run in the fabulously sponsored Paddy Power Gold Cup just really did show now that he stays well. He's a horse that you can ride as if he stays the trip well. He only went up £1 for that fourth place. Master trainer, Philip Hobbs, Aidan Coleman doing the steering. Dostal Phil will be my nap on Saturday. I'll back him each way. It'll be my nap. And he will make Ruby Walsh feel like a banana.
Okay. Frank, top that.
Oh, that's very good. Look, Midnight Shadow Salas, I thought he was value for more than the winning distance when he won. I think only one of us tipped him up that day, didn't we?
He was a next best selection. Not really a next best selection, was
it? Is like he said, he's clouted the second last, and kind of, yeah, he was valued for further. And with what Protector Ash did at Aintree, albeit the race fell apart at Aintree, £7 is probably relatively lenient, and he's definitely going to be involved again. But for me, I'm going to take a chance on one with form figures of PFU7. So the next logical one is a one, and that's Cyril Delac for David Pyne. Look, he's only 8, it's hard to believe he's still only 8. Really good novice. He won 6 of his 8 first starts, including winning at the trials meeting and following up in the plate. And in 2020, it was unlikely he would have beaten Simply the Best, but he couldn't say for certain that he wouldn't either when he fell 2 out. That was off a mark of 150. When he won at the festival, was off a mark of 141. He moved David Pipe then on seat in the Paddy Power World Cup last season. Wasn't seen till a hurdles race at Cheltenham in October. He's down to a mark of 143. A bit of easier ground here definitely won't inconvenience him. And he's just a big price. If he bounced back to anywhere near the form he was showing 2 years ago, he's obviously had issues since that fall at the festival. But he's a big price and he could get involved. He'll be in the right position too. I like horses that are relatively prominent and these sort of handicaps, and he should be, in the first 4 or 5, I think, the whole way around.
Okay. A lot of jumping off ships here. Ruby was keen on Dostal Phil last time. He jumps off. You obviously tipped up Midnight Shadow. You're jumping off, but Matt Chapman could be laughing all the way. I'd say he might.
Oh, will
tweet we? You. He might tweet you if I know you're not on Twitter, but he'll still tweet you. Let's move on to the 225 at Cheltenham. This is the Albert Bartlett Trial, 3 miles novice hurdle. At the time recording, Blazing Cal for Charles Burns, rapidly improving. The 11-8 favourite, 7-4 Jalino Bello for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden is 7-4. 5-1 Barony Legends for Ollie Murphy. Griffin Cottage is an interesting hurdling debutante at 11-1, 16-1, at least I think it's hurdling debutante, 16-1 with current mood, and 20-1 Lock Derg Rocco. Matt Chapman, you have the honour.
Well, you're very kind, Patrick. I feel I should go first. I did something strange in this race because I've tipped Jalino Bello, who will not be a big price. On paper, looks like a horse who won't stay because he didn't seem to stay against Blazing Carl over a shorter last time. And he goes further on this occasion. So I've come to two conclusions here. Firstly, possibly Jalino Bello wasn't at his best last time. And secondly, I remember a conversation I once had with the legendary Martin Pipe where I saw one of his horses running. And I said to him, "You'll drop that back, won't you, next time?" And he looked me in the eye as if I was a complete banana and said, "No, we'll go up a mile, step him up." And he absolutely hacked up next time. And the lesson that I learned there, and it's lived with me to this day, is that horses that get beat over shorter and seem to weaken, it's often just the case that they're trying to do too much too quickly. And in fact, what they do need is further rather than shorter. On that theory, in the hope that it's correct, I'm going to go Jalino Bello.
Frank Hickey?
Jesus, I'd say Charles will be collecting here. Mm. Blazing Hal, take all the beating. I can't see how the others reverse with him. He's the one who really looked like he'd appreciate stepping up to 3 miles, and he could easily develop into an Albert Bartlett contender. Even his form from Galway, Gringo Dabrell's come out and won a bumper, and he beat the good horse of Willie's, that the name has gone for me, that won the Fairy House bumper, the big bumper.
Adamantly chosen,
that's the one. Blazing Cal, I just think he won't be beaten, I don't think.
Ruby Walsh?
I'm the same, Blazing Cal. I fancied him the last day. Didn't think he jumped particularly well. I think he'd have improved for the experience. Step up and trip, Blazing Cal all the way.
Okay, 2 votes for Blazing Cal, 1 for Jalino Bello. Let's move on to what used to be known as the Beulah, now the International Hurdle. 9-4 favourite song for someone for Tom Simmons. It's 11-4 So Royale, or So Royal. 9-2 Bally Adam for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. 5-1 Guard Your Dreams. It's 11-1 Danny Mullins and Paul Hennessy combining with Heaven Help Us, Cheltenham Festival Heroine. 12-1 Wild Wed Oscar and 12-1 Hunter's Call. I think it's fair to say not the greatest grade two we've ever seen, Frank Hickey, but what wins it?
Yeah, it's quite a weak renewal. I think you have to take a chance on Heaven Help Us here. You really do. She won here as a novice, beating Master Debonair over 2 miles. She absolutely bolted up in the Carl Cup off a mark of 138, albeit Willie's horse fell at the last, but she was still going to be a good winner, and she's won by 9 lengths from Craig Neish. Looking at the race, there's a chance she gets her own way in front, which she's only 7 as well, and she's improving. And when you look at the race, like, she's rated 150. The highest rated in here is So Royale of 158, and she's getting £9 off him. She's getting £9 off Song for Someone. I just think there's a chance she gets loose on the front here and they won't catch her. 11-1's huge. Won't be 11-1 tomorrow.
Okay, right. Heaven Help Us. Big shout from Frank. Ruby?
Yeah, I kind of saw it the other way, the opposite way around tactically. I think Heaven Help Us will go forward and make the running and be allowed to dictate it. But it's a hard track, the new course, to make all on. And if Aidan Coleman goes at Danny Mullins away from two out, they'll just burn each other off before they get to the last, and it sets up for a closer. And for that reason, I just hope Darrell Jacob stays behind the two of them till he's halfway up the running, not halfway to the last hurdle, halfway up the running, and then goes by them on So Royale, and I think he'll beat them.
Match up.
Okay, so I thought this was a terrible renewal of this race. And I'd be really disappointed if a horse like So Royale or Song for Someone could win it. So I looked.
You said last week there were grade two horses. This is a grade two race.
Yeah, yeah. But it usually throws up something really good. And I don't think it does on this occasion. That's not to say they're not admirable, Ruby, and you'd love to have them in your stable, or as a jockey, you'd love to ride them and collect the cash. I get that.
That's the important part, Mark. That's the important part.
Yeah, Matt. The problem, look, I think this is a poor renewal. We all love So Royale. He's a great stick, but he shouldn't really at his age be winning this type of event, for me anyway. So I've gone for a horse that I think could cause a little bit of an upset. That's got a bit to find, but is beginning to improve. And that's Guard Your Dreams for Twiston Davis, Sam and Nigel. Now, he stays further than this, but he was just, I think, outstayed by Buzz at Ascot last time. So I think the slight drop in trip off what should be a strong pace, because the Hendo runner usually goes off like the clappers. I think everything is right for Guard Your Dreams to cause a little bit of an upset. I think this is a race that's open for a result.
Tell you what, lads, there's not a huge amount of consensus on the pod today over the course of the racing so far, which does suggest the racing is tricky this weekend. One more race at Cheltenham to look at, the 3:35. They close on Saturday with a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Very interesting runner called, I'm going to go Trappista, but it could be Trappista, for John Joe O'Neill, senior and junior. 2 for 2 so far. 3-1 favourite. Indefatigable for Paul Weber, and Darrell Jacob is 9-2. 11-2 Martello Sky. Very much improving, winning 4 of its last 6 starts. 11-2. 6-1 Win House for Alan King and Tom Cannon. 7-1 Her Indoors, also for Alan King. Harry Cobden rides that, and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. And Matt Chapman can go first.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Pleasure.
Okay, I'm just going for the class horse. I think Indefatigable, if she produces her Weatherby form rather than obviously her Newbury Shocker, she is capable of giving the weight away. Obviously, Trappista could be absolutely anything, but I thought the mark given Trappista absolutely showed what is just completely and utterly wrong about horse racing. It's run twice and it's been given a mark as if it's the next Pegasus. Maybe it is the next Pegasus, but it will have to be to win off that mark. So Indefatigable for me.
Frank Hickey.
Frank. Martello Sky. I think she ran okay in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle last year. She just found 2 miles too sharp for her. Like, she looked like she was getting badly outpaced, ran on strongly to finish 8th. Wasn't disgraced. Came back then in the April meeting, won nicely from Sandy Mount Rose. Bolted up at Market Racing on her handicap debut off mark for 132. She won by 9.5 lengths. The yard, Lucy Wadham, they're not doing too badly. They had a winner already today at Warwick. Last time at Aintree, against Brewing Up a Storm and a few of those, Martello Sky actually went off joint favourite, even though she was very much wrong at the weights on those terms that day. I think back into a handicap company, back against the Mayors, and dropped a pound to 140 from, she was rated 141 after she won at Market Racing. I think she's a big chance. I think she'll take all the beating.
Ruby Walsh?
I'd say the two lads have picked the right two horses, but if you are with Matt Chapman, I would wait till Indefatigable has jumped off and is showing you that she wants to be at the races today, because she didn't want to be there at all for whatever reason at Newbury. So if you're siding with Matt, wait till she shows you that she's willing to go forward today.
And when you say that to the unlearned amongst us...
she didn't want to line up in Newbury and got left at the start. Yeah.
Right, like so once she's just jumped off with them, when you say... Like,
yeah, how unlearned you are, you could see she had no interest in Newbury. If you were watching the race, she gave Paisley Park et al., who was a bit reluctant himself, she must have given him 15 lengths out the gate. So just see that she's in the right frame of mind if you are with Matt Chapman here.
Yeah, you can do that. You can bet after the off, can't you, Frank? I know you can in Paddy Power Shops. I know you can, you know, for a limited time. So you can just watch it. And I'm sure you can do that.
Have the docket written out ready to go.
Yeah, you could do that. Exactly. Yeah. Let's change tack and let's go to Doncaster. Three races live on ITV on Saturday, starting with the 2:05. This is a handicap hurdle. No prizes at the time of recording. Top weight, Tommy's Oscar. Fran Hamilton and Brian Hughes. You've got the lucky one for Dan Skelton and Bridget Andrews, fresh off that grade two success in the Many Clouds last week. Take It Easy, Fast Improving. Geronimo looking for four in a row. Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost combined with Sonny Gino, Matt. I'm going to go with that. What are your thoughts on this race?
I thought it was very, very hard. I had no strong opinion. Most of the runners I thought were at that handicap hilts. So you weren't looking at trying to find a horse really that might improve, just something that might bring it to the table. And the one that I thought might bring it to the table is Take It Easy for Paul O'Brien and Pam Sly. It's run well at Ludlow, Stratford, Weatherby and Huntingdon, suggesting that the current mark, although exposed, is still just about workable. We'll give me a run, but I'm not confident in any manner of means.
An Eagles fan, Matt? Fan of the Eagles?
Move on, Patrick.
Did it take it easy? No?
Okay. I mean, it's a very... when you say things like that, you really do show your age.
Oh, crap. Is it not the Eagles? Did it take it easy?
No, but the Eagles are very old. Like,
oh,
most
right.
People
I'm sure. Oh,
this,
okay, right.
I mean, it's a bit like... You might as well say Elvis Presley. I mean, most people will have heard of Elvis Presley, but it's like... I mean, the Eagles, I mean, are they still alive?
I think they're playing in Dublin next year, so yeah. Now, what format of them, I don't know.
Oh, well, I mean...
I know, no. Matt, look, just because it doesn't have...
Hey, Matt, what was Presley like live?
Like, what kind of question is that, Ruby?
Was it a good concert, yeah?
What kind of question was that?
You're the only one of us that might have seen him, like, so.
Bross never backed Elvis Presley. Thank you very much.
Yeah. When will you be famous, Matt? Frank Hickey.
Wow, what is this?
Frank Hickey, give us the word of the 2:05 at Doncaster, please.
Yeah, look, Tommy's Oscar was very impressive at Haydock, but he was beaten by Take It Easy previous to that at Weatherby. He's now 8 pounds higher in that Weatherby run. Take It Easy is only 2 pounds higher. So there's no reason why he should reverse. Lucky One's a bit interesting off the back. He was going all right at Aintree in the grade one when he tipped up at a massive price last April. It's his first start for Dan Skelton. I'd probably agree, Matt, to Take It Easy is maybe the solid one, but I wouldn't have a strong opinion.
Take it easy. Come on, Ruby, make it a hat-trick.
No, I don't. I actually fancy Tommy's Oscar the last day. My one worry about him in Haydock was the trip. He was coming down from his previous run at Carlisle over 2.5, but I thought 2.5 were still stretching, 2.3 even was still stretching Tommy's Oscar. I think dropping to 2.5 a furlong would suit Tommy's Oscar. And that's the only way he can carry the penalty. So I'm with Tommy's Oscar again.
Okay. A couple of us take it easy. One for Tommy's Oscar. The 2:40 is the grade two for juveniles. Obviously, a few of these unbeaten. You've got the top ones, Knight Salute, who's Porticello, both looking for, two or three or four wins in a row as far as the top one, Knight Salute, is concerned. Too Friendly for Dan Skelton and Bridget Andrews and those Gredley Silks as well. Impulsive One, bred to be a Kentucky Derby horse, but over hurdles for Nicky Henderson and James Bowen. Frank Hickey, the Summit Juvenile Hurdle, one of the big races of the season.
The Porticello has a bit of a reputation. He beat Magistrat over in France. He was well backed when getting off the mark for the Moors at Weatherby, despite jumping poorly and looking beast turning into the straight, but he found plenty. He'll have to jump much better here. He has a penalty as well. He carries a 5 pound penalty. I'm going to go a Knight Salute just because of the price. I think he's underestimated a bit. He's 3-3 over hurdles. He beat Impulsive One already at Kempton. He had Magistrato behind at Cheltenham last time. I thought he was a very good winner at Cheltenham. He won easily enough. He has the 5 pound penalty as well, but just the prices, I'd go at Knight Salute.
What kind of a price? I don't have a price in front of you. What kind of a price are you looking at?
I think we were about 11-2, 6 okay. to one, but that was a little bit under what was there.
You're hoping for at least that price. Very good. Okay.
At least I think you'll give your run for your money. And the yard are having a great year as well. Mitchell Harris did 29 winners so far this season, which is incredible. They're flying in. Yeah, this horse just underestimated a bit, I think.
Ruby Walsh, just give me a thumbs up. He's got to go get another piece of your test. Go on, Ruby, give us the winner.
I struggled to pick the winner by the time these horses get to the Triumph Hurdle, let alone this early in the year.
Next. Matt Chapman.
Botticello.
Next. All right, on to the final race at Doncaster at 3:15. That's live on ITV. This one is a handicap chase. Oh, Jeff, ex-Jesse Harrington is there for Ollie Murphy in the Whaley Cohen Silks now with Sam on board. Matt, give us the winner of the 3:15, Donny.
Not for the first time this Saturday. Going through, I couldn't really find what I considered a well-handicapped horse. Most of these were at their limit and were struggling to win off their limit. For that reason, when that happens, I just look for a horse in form who stays. And I came down on Fidux for Alan King and Tom Bellamy, who I think is a very, very promising jockey. I always fear on the pod of saying things like that because, of course, we've got in a judge in Ruby Walsh who might just look at the screen and think, you idiot, he's one of the worst riders out there. But I think Tom is good. Tall lad, but he's quite stylish. Horses seem to be running for him. He's getting confidence all the time from the King and Lavelle animals. And I think he's going places as a rider. If that's down to the horses, maybe it is. But he's still winning. So good on him. And I think Fidux has a good chance here. Stays well. Quite a young horse. Could improve a bit. And he's in okay form. But he's not got a single pound in hand on his handicap rating. He's handicapped up to the hilt. So if there is something well in, he will struggle.
Okay. Frank Hickey, you've got 10 seconds.
No opinion.
Good. Impressive. That's the first time you've ever gone under. Ruby Walsh, 3:15.
Two for goal for me. I think the small field would suit him. Beat Azo at Warwick over 2.5 last year. I thought I was unlucky behind Double Shuffle at Kempton over this distance. Got stuck down the inside, never going to a rhythm jumping. Seven runners will suit him. Two for goal for me for the Peterborough Chase winners, David Bass and Kim Bailey.
Lovely. And it's nap time. Frank Hickey, nap of the weekend.
Martello Sky in Cheltenham. I get you the time, the 3:35 on Saturday.
Lovely, Martello Sky. Each way or on the nose?
Win.
Win, win, win. Ruby Walsh, nap of the weekend.
Blazing Cal.
Blazing Cal. He fancies that horse again. And Matt, you've already given us our nap, but again, remind us.
It's just going to be one of the greatest moments of my life. I've already got the TV on near me, ready to watch Ruby Walsh as Dostal Phil wins the big betting race on the back of that magnificent fourth in the Paddy Power Gold Cup.
Do you know what? And I'll say this: this is genuinely happened. He's actually just logged off. He's actually just logged off
because he knows it's going to happen, and he's so embarrassed by himself. Literally, this is like an Annie Power moment, and he's walked off.
Yes, yeah. Fair play. Well done, Matt. You rattled him. Okay, listen, thank you very much for listening for another weekend. And we've got 2 days of brilliant action, hopefully, to come. Now, just a reminder, if you do want free tickets to Cheltenham on New Year's Day, courtesy of Paddy Power, if you see a tweet involving this podcast, retweet it, quote the tweet, essentially, hashtag FTHM, and tell us something nice, like Frank Hickey is great. He looks great today, despite the fact that he couldn't get his mic sorted. Or Matt Chapman's background looks fantastic. You know, whatever you want. But say something nice. Say something nice, you know. It's nice to be nice every now and again. And another reminder, we've had a few emails. We're going to do another punters panel. If you want to be involved, you want to be on the podcast, if you want to do what Matt Chapman just did to Ruby Walsh and make him walk off, email fthm@paddypower.com. Register your interest. And before we get that panel off the ground, we will reach out to everyone who we want to be on, and you can ask anything of Frank, you can ask anything of Ruby, you can ask anything of Paddy. It should be a bit of fun. The last episode was great fun, so do register your interest and we'll get you on the show. Lads, have a great weekend. Thank you for your extended thoughts on Doncaster and Cheltenham.
Over. You too.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week, folks.
Cheers, lads.